Searchlights pierce a starry night sky, sweeping the clouds and illuminating a giant edifice in the form of the words, 20th Century Fox. 20th Century Fox, a News Corporation company. Blue Sky appears in an undulating blue and white oval. Blue Sky Studios. 20th Century Fox Animation presents a Blue Sky Studios production. Droplets of water gather and drip off the pointed tip of a leaf. Starring Jim Carrey. The droplets fall. Steve Carell, Will Arnett, and Seth Rogen. Dan Fogler, Isla Fisher, Jonah Hill, Jamie Presley, Amy Poehler, Charles Osgood. Dislodged by the water, a seed pod bounces down a tree trunk into a field of dandelion clocks, scattering snowy white seeds. Casting by Christian Kaplan, CSA, art director Thomas Cardone, editor Tim Nordquist. The pod rolls off a leaf and into a crack in the ground. It rolls down a dark trough through a forest of mushrooms. Music by John Powell. The spiky pod rumbles towards a tiny, bright yellow flower. Executive producer, Christopher Melodandri. The pod hits the plant, and in a puff of dust, a tiny speck pops off its surface and floats away. Executive producers, Audrey Geisel and Chris Wedge. Produced by Bob Gordon and Bruce Anderson. Based upon the book by Dr. Seuss. Screenplay by Cinco Paul and Ken Dorio. The speck floats out into the warm sunlight above thick, colourful jungle. Directed by Jimmy Hayward and Steve Martino. The speck floats through the O of a title in exciting orange letters hanging in midair. Horton hears a who, with a big exclamation mark. It swoops over a rushing river and a rumbling, misty waterfall. As it flies on through dense, drooping leaves, something is making the forest plants shake. A big elephant is lumbering through the jungle. He hits a tree with his head, and it topples over a river. He walks out onto the tree trunk and rears up on his huge hind legs. With a great goofy grin, he folds up his ears round his head to make a swimming cap. He springboards off the tree, high into the air. He surfaces, rolls over, and paddling with his big ears and hind legs, backstrokes happily, before twisting, diving under, then jumping up joyfully.
On the 15th of May, in the jungle of Nul, in the heat of the day, in the cool of the pool, he was splashing, enjoying the jungle's great joys.
He makes a shower out of his trunk.
When Horton the elephant heard a small noise.
The speck flies by.
Horton!
Good morning, class. Are you ready?
Yeah!
Jump on board!
Ooh!
Look out below!
Tommy's on board!
Katie, you there?
She's a small ball of yellow fur.
Okay. Shh. There it is. This is one of the jungle's most amazing creatures, the leaf bug. In order to protect itself from predators, it disguises itself as a leaf.
He pokes at it with his trunk.
This one's got quite a grip. Come on, little buddy. Don't be shy.
I guess I was mistaken, kids. There are obviously no leaf bugs in this area. Even a
professor... No, they're on me! Look at... Get him off!
I think I swallowed one.
Tommy! Pull it out!
Okay.
All the kids get swung around on Horton's trunk.
Ben Humphing a Hoof was a sour kangaroo, the type who's convinced she knows better than you. She made every law and enforced every rule as self-proclaimed head of the jungle of Nul.
Why can't I play with the other kids, Mom?
How many times have I told you that the jungle is no place to act like a wild animal?
The little animals fly off the trunk, and the leaf bug shoots out. Tiny Katie slurps it up with a long, sticky tongue.
My, that Horton certainly is eccentric.
And the children are learning so much from him.
Learning to be a bunch of harebrained half-wits. And that's why my Rudy is pouch-schooled.
So while Kangaroo stood there, sneering a sneer...
Horton, that was the best time I've ever had in my life. What are you going to show us next?
Once again, the speck floated right by Horton's ear. Then he heard it again, just a very faint yelp, as if some tiny person were calling for help.
He imagines a thin furry creature clinging to the speck.
And you know what he thought? Why, he thought that there must be someone on top of that small speck of dust. Or even a family. It just might be so. A family with children just starting to grow.
The creature's got children clinging to him.
I gotta go. Katie, you're in charge.
Katie opens her mouth, the leaf bug jumps out and flies off.
Wait! Come back!
Horton hares after the speck. It's drifting towards his bathing pool. He sucks up water to lower the pool's level. He jumps, splashes and runs across the water, trying to save the speck, then catches it on the end of his trunk. His sigh blows the speck away again. Up in the trees, a monkey seeing how many bananas he can stuff into his mouth when one pops out of his nose. Another monkey is using two bananas as binoculars.
Who? Who? I hear someone coming.
Give me those.
Wait!
Sound the alarm!
Excuse me, pardon my stampede. Sorry, Wrecker Gems. I promise I'm going to clean all this up later.
Bring the ammo!
A big ape with a banana cigar squeezes bananas under his armpits, firing them out of their skins like a machine gun at Horton.
I love the smell of bananas in the morning!
Banana in the hole!
Come on, guys! We're all mammals!
Whoa!
I feel the diplomatic process is beginning to break down.
He's hit with a huge banana bomb.
There you are! I gotcha! Gotcha!
Sliding on banana skins, he just misses the speck.
Hi, kids.
He charges past his class of animal kids as the speck floats out over the water again. He grabs a small round purple clover flower, and the speck sticks to it.
There. Now you're safe. I know I heard you say something. I just know it.
Where are you?
He peers too closely, and the clover goes in his eye. Kangaroo comes up.
Horton!
Ooh, sorry! There was this speck, and it called out for help, and I
the
was...
The speck called out for help?
Well, not the speck. I mean, that's ridiculous. Is that what you thought I meant? No, the speck can't call out for help. Come on. Get real. No, there's a tiny person on that speck that needs my help.
Absurd. There aren't people that small.
Well, maybe they aren't small. Maybe we're big.
Horton.
No, really, think about it. What if there was someone way out there looking down on our world right now? And to them, we're the speck.
And then maybe someone else will come along and say, oh, there can't be people that small. And the first guy would say, are you calling me a liar? And the second guy would say, if the shoe fits, wear it. And now the fists are flying, and the first guy picks up a brick. And you might want to zip up the pouch for this next part. All right, fat boy, you want some of this?
Horton,
what?
There is nothing on that speck.
But I heard.
Did you? Really? Oh, my. Then how come I don't hear anything?
Well...
If you can't see, hear, or feel something, it doesn't exist.
And believing in tiny, imaginary people is just not something we do.
Or tolerate here in the jungle of Newell.
Really? Because I bet if I really tried, I could find somebody who'd believe what
you
I was saying.
You will do nothing of the sort. You will not breathe a word of this lie to anyone else, especially the children. I do not want you poisoning their minds with this nonsense.
Our community has standards, Horton. If you want to remain a part of it, I recommend you follow them. Have a nice day.
She munches a clover and hops off.
All right, then. I'll take that under advisement. Certainly appreciate your input.
I don't understand. I know I heard you. It was as plain as a nose on my face. That's it. Maybe you can't hear me. Of course. Your ears must be tiny. I need to speak up.
Now, some people out there, I think I know who, may find they agree with that sour kangaroo. There can't really be people as small as a mite. Well, there can, and there are, because Horton was right.
In a higgledy-piggledy town of oddly curvy houses, Horton's shout gets squeezed down a drainpipe until it bursts the pipe at the seams.
That single hello traveled all the way down to the speck, through the clouds, until it found a small town. A town known as Whoville, for there lived the Whos, feeling happy and safe, knowing only good news, unaware that their world was a speck on a clover, unaware that the sweet life they knew might be over. The mayor of Whoville, a man named McDodd, was devoted and fair and a little bit odd.
The lanky, tufty-haired mayor stirs his coffee with a long, furry finger, then spills it, picking up his paper. He tries to drink, but there's nothing left. He probes with his tongue, but there's nothing there. He goes indoors, leaps into a chair, and scampers up to his red-headed wife.
The mayor and his wife, they had children to spare. 96 daughters, some here and some there. 96 girls to love, 96 girls to teach. But the mayor had only a few seconds for each.
Daddy, I got better than best on my hoostery test.
Ah, hoostery, I remember it well.
That's one of my girls.
Hildy's been using my hairbrush.
Holly's been using my hairbrush.
Look, over there.
He swaps brushes.
There, all better.
Can I please have a Who phone, Dad? Everyone else in my class has one.
Oh, really? Everyone?
In a photo, she is the only one without a phone.
Oh, I will think about it.
Daddy, look! Daddy, look!
He skips in a rope, swung by two of the daughters.
Two!
It's a TH, sweetheart. It's tooth.
In Whoville tradition, unlike yours or mine, Mayor's oldest is next in the mayoral line. And who was the oldest to lead and stand tall? It was Jojo, his son, the smallest Who of all.
So, Jojo, what's shaking? What's happening? What's the word?
Now, to you or to me, it's abundantly clear that Jojo did not want his father's career. But the mayor pressed forward, completely deluded.
Boom, bigga, boom, bigga, boom, boom.
While Jojo just sat there in silence and brooded.
Black-haired and pale, he slopes off.
Oh, Jojo!
Hey, why does he get more time?
Son, hey!
And why didn't he speak? Well, I think that the lad was afraid if he did, he might let down his dad.
You know what's awesome? This is awesome. Just look at the men and women hanging on these walls. You, my boy, are part of a family legacy that spans centuries. You know what? Your grandfather was mayor of Whoville. Mm-hmm. And your great-grandmother, that's right, all the way down to your great-great-great-great-not-so-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great grandfather.
He's a cave Who.
Someday, I hope to join them. Be one of the greats. I tell you, Jojo, there is nothing like being mayor. I get to sign resolutions, approve ordinances, submit budgets, and in the edible parade, I'm the one sitting on top of the giant meatball. Someday, that can be you too, Jojo. Someday, you'll be the one wearing the mayoral crest. You just need to... You know what I mean? Okay, good chat. I'm glad that we had this talk.
that I'm continuing now by myself. Good.
The whole great hall of paintings shakes.
Huh.
Oh, there. That ought to be comfy.
He gently puts down the clover and sips from a coconut.
Nothing wrong with this, Morton. Nothing wrong with this. Just you and me in the speck, shooting the breeze.
We're a club. We're a group. We can take a vote on the issues.
We can be a secret society that controls the balance of power in the world.
Horton.
And no one else can join unless they wear funny hats.
His ears become a floppy hat with a feather.
Listen, Horton.
The chair recognizes Brother Morton.
I'm really happy you found this speck and all. But you might want to think about keeping it to yourself.
Hmm? What? Why?
Well, you're talking to a clover. That doesn't look good.
You know what doesn't look good? You talking about the speck like the speck isn't even there. The speck never said anything bad about you. But hey, good luck with your illusion of superiority.
You know, the speck can think anything it wants about me. It's a speck.
Whoa. I see what's going on here. Morton, no matter how tight the speck and I get, the speck could never replace you. I'm only sad that I would have to explain that at this point.
Well, that's awesome, Horton. That really helps.
Just try to keep this to yourself. I'll see you later. Try.
Morton, a speedy blue mouse with a springy tail, whizzes off.
Hey, Horton. What you got there?
What? Nothing. We're not doing anything.
We're totally alone.
Who's we?
We? What? We? Did I say that? I just... Oh, no, I would never say that because that would imply that I was with someone and not alone.
Horton's cheeks bulge, and about to burst, he clamps his feet over his mouth.
Okay, seriously, you can't tell anybody. I mean it. If anybody finds out about this, it could be very, very bad. I'm not sure why.
We won't tell anyone. And if we do, we'll tell them not to tell anyone. Perfect.
Okay, I'm taking a bath, right? Because my skin gets kind of dry and a little bit ashy.
While Horton came clean about the speck that he'd found and how he had saved it when it nearly drowned, the mayor set off on his morning commute and noticed things weren't quite the same on his route. But please don't blame Horton, for he didn't know that a small bump above...
And I dove into the water like this!
...was a big bump below.
Hey, Joe! Don't work too hard!
Ah, these luxury condos, they don't build themselves!
Neat gardens and a curvy block of flats fall from the sky.
Hey, look at that! I guess they do build themselves!
Okay, that happened.
He walks on through the happy jumble of Whoville.
Now, the mayor knew it was his job to convey the unusual things that he'd noticed that day. But there was one problem. Though his will was strong...
You're late.
Thank you, Miss Hill.
Nothing in Whoville had ever gone wrong.
We have all that we need.
We need all that we've got.
We like it in Whoville. We like it a lot.
We're all very busy with the Who's Centennial coming up, so let's bring this meeting to order. Mr. Mayor, I presume you have some good news for us.
Well, it's news. I don't know if we need to go labeling it good or bad or anything like that. The thing is, I have noticed some odd goings-on in Whoville lately.
Good odd goings-on?
Well, you know, tremors, clouds swirling in the sky, and it seems to me, just to be safe, we might want to consider postponing the Who's Centennial.
Consider what?
Postponing the Who's Centennial?
What? Speak up, man!
Postponing the Who's Centennial, all right?
The whiskery councilman presses a happy face button on his desk, and a large glass dome drops over the mayor and the council. As the audience gasp and wonder, the councilman chases the mayor round the dome, throttles him, pokes him with a stick, and points to a picture of a donkey.
We are about to celebrate 100 years of Whoville happiness and harmony. And you want to postpone the celebration?
Well, what if Whoville's not safe?
Nothing ever goes wrong in Whoville. Never has, and never will. You blathering boob.
The mayor looks hurt. The councilman raises the dome.
The Who's Centennial will proceed as planned. The mayor was merely being an idiot. It'll be all smiles from now on.
Mechanical hands make him smile. A mechanical boot on a unicycle kicks him out.
Girl, I got 15,000 friends already. What? What you mean it don't look like me? That look just like me. 10 years ago? Wait a minute, hold on for a sec.
Miss Yelp pours a purple drink. The mayor arrives by glass tube.
Treats me like an idiot. I am not an idiot. Do I look like an idiot?
His mouth's purple.
You don't want me to answer that.
Not an idiot. Has the nerve to call me a boob? I would never call somebody a boob. He's a boob. Look at you. Yuck. Look at your face. And I bet you don't look so good with a stapler in your head.
The stapler bounces off Whisker's portrait and into the mayor's face.
Yeah!
His yell carries right off the speck.
Ow. Yeah! Thank you, Miss Yelp.
You're welcome.
She removes the staple.
Oh. Hello? Who's your friend? I'll punch you.
He falls over, shattering a gramophone. Clutching the speaker horn, he follows the noise out onto the balcony, to the pipe, that Horton's voice burst.
Hello?
Hello?
The mayor jams the horn into the pipe.
Who's there?
This is the mayor.
The mayor?
The mayor?
He scares a little bird whose beak shrivels up.
I knew there was life on this speck. This speck? What speck?
Well, I don't exactly know how to tell you this, but...
You're living on a speck.
Well, I hate to disagree with you, oh voice from the drainpipe, but I live in Whoville.
Well, then, Whoville's a speck.
Right, okay, seriously, who is this? Is this Bert from accounting?
No. This is Horton. I'm an elephant.
Okay, Horton, fake name. Where are you?
Well, from where you're standing, I guess I'm in the sky.
Compared to you, I'm enormous, which is saying something, because I've slimmed down quite a bit. I swim. Your whole world fits on a flower in my world.
Oh, man, this is even pushing it for you, Bert.
Don't believe me? Watch what happens when I put you in the shade.
This is absolutely impossible.
Dark.
Light.
Dark.
Light.
Dark light, dark light. Light.
Ooh. Don't you see?
We're in the middle of some kind of amazing cosmic convergence. Two vastly different worlds, miraculously crossing paths.
Mine,
Plato!
Yours, minuscule. Yet somehow, we've managed to make contact.
If you think about it, it's pretty amazing.
The mayor stares at the sky.
Is everything okay down there?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the one holding the speck.
I'm the one holding this back. I'm the one holding this back.
Don't you worry, Mr. Mayor.
Hold, please. Oh.
What did all of this mean? The mayor hadn't a clue. So he ran to the office of Dr. LaRue, the brainiest brain on the staff at WhoU.
Dr. LaRue? Oh, this is crazy.
Oh, Mr. Mayor. How may I be of assistance?
I don't know. Hey, you know, I was just wondering, if our world were, say, a tiny speck, floating through space, how would we know?
Well, why would you ask something like that?
Oh, no reason at all. I don't even remember. Yes, I do. That, you know what? Some guy was talking to me, not an elephant in the sky, a guy on the ground.
Well, there would be several ramifications.
Good ramifications?
A tiny speck.
Uh-huh, yeah, tiny speck.
Floating around.
Whoa.
Well, we'd have inexplicable tremors, dramatic changes in the weather, and if we didn't eventually achieve some sort of stability, our world would be destroyed.
Destroyed? Destroyed. Oh, destroyed. Destroyed.
He sprints to his office, juggles with his phone, and dives for the balcony.
Horton!
No, this is Benny.
Horton is busy right now.
You, I'm joking. That's me.
Oh, we're doomed.
Listen, Horton, turns out I need your help a little bit. Apparently, if that speck keeps moving around, our whole world could be obliterated. So, I need you to find us who's a safer, more stable home and fast.
No problem, Mr. Mayor.
Let's see.
He sees a flower in a tree.
Wow, that's a nice view.
A giraffe eats it.
Hello, is everything okay?
Ooh!
Birds peck nuts off a tree. A huge bird with a beak like a vacuum cleaner sucks up plants, and ants devour a flower stalk.
What's going on up there?
Horton's horrified as the animals munch, peck, suck, and devour plants. The ant's flower falls in front of Horton.
This entire jungle is a house of death!
Oh, wait. Here's a good spot.
And it's then Horton saw, at the top of Mount Nool, a small cave that looked peaceful and quiet and cool, where a sunflower grew proud and tall from the ground. There, he knew, every who would be safe, would be sound.
I found it, Mayor. The perfect place. Right up there.
On the top of Mount Nool.
Mr. Mayor!
I wish you could...
Oh, shiny.
The WHO Centennial Committee is waiting for you to look over the giant meatball for the edible parade. Oh, and then you're due at the dentist for your WHO root canal.
You know, sticking WHO in front of everything doesn't make it hurt less. Just waste time. I don't want to go.
Listen, Horton, I've got to go. Apparently, there's a problem with the giant meatball.
You just take care of that meatball, sir. And leave the freaking out to me.
So then Horton began his long, perilous trek, determined to save the small world on the speck. Horton was faithful and stalwart and kind.
I gotcha.
He was a brave hero.
I'll protect you. Fight!
At least in his mind.
We must become invisible. Travel silently. For there are forces that would seek to destroy us.
He becomes a hero in a Japanese anime cartoon. The subtitle reads, Screaming.
Huh? So, you think you can sneak up on me, huh? It is clear that you are no match for my technique, hey!
He kung-fus a tree, and a branch slaps him.
I see you have mastered the way of the snapping branch. Let me tumble!
He flits up a tree.
Horton, mouse, go!
You are fast, Horton, but the kangaroo has monkeys! Mm-hmm. I will make monkeys of these monkeys. It is their destiny. Huh?
He shoots power at a swarm of flying monkeys.
Horton is the greatest hero of them all, huh?
Horton! Horton, go! But Mount Nool is that way! Ha ha ha! To the top of Mount Nool! As fast as lightning! Away I go!
He crushes a flower.
Oh, sorry, little fella. You'll be fine. Just think healing thoughts.
He walks off.
Horton! Look! We've all got our own clovers with worlds on them!
Yeah!
Oh.
In my world, everyone's a pony, and they all eat rainbows and poop butterflies.
That's beautiful, Katie. In a really weird way.
My world is called Jessica Land, and everyone worships Queen Jessica because Jessica is so beautiful.
Jessica, that was awesome.
Kangaroo watches from a distance.
Rudy!
Mom, be careful! My best friend Thedwick lives on that!
Rudy, no one lives on this. It's not possible. That Horton is a menace.
Mom, please, you're so weird. Don't do this to me.
Honey, go to your room. Horton!
Tommy dropkicks Katie.
It's good! What do you think you're doing?
Huh? You guys with worlds are in trouble.
Have you forgotten what we discussed?
Oh, no. I'm an elephant. And elephants never forget. It's a curse, really. I remember I was on my head, and you said, "Humph," and I looked up, and you said, "What are you doing?" And I said the thing about the speck. Then you pulled my ears, and you poked me in the forehead.
Horton!
Well, you did.
Give me that clover, Horton. Now.
No.
The monkeys sense trouble.
No?
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to fight this fight, Horton? Because I promise you it will get very ugly very fast. And you need to ask yourself, do I really want to put myself through all this? For a clover? Take it from me, Horton. You don't. So hand it over.
She grabs, he dodges.
No! I can't give it to you! There are people on this spec. Granted, they're very small people, but a person's a person, no matter how small.
Huh. Ow.
You just crossed the line, Horton, and I'm gonna make you pay.
The monkeys gather threateningly. Horton backs away.
That Horton is a menace. He has those kids using their imagination. Ooh. It's sick.
All right, I gotta get this spec up to the top of Mount Newell ASAP. Whatever that means. Probably act swiftly, awesome pachyderm. I mean, how hard can that be?
A rickety rope bridge stretches over a wide, bottomless gorge.
It's just a straight plummet to certain death.
This looks kind of precarious. Well, no need to worry. Obviously, when they build a bridge like this, they take into account that elephants will be crossing here. All right, feels good. I'll just get the view of it.
He crouches terrified on the flimsy planks, then begins to creep forwards. As Horton balances high in the air, the mare glumly gets in the dentist's chair.
That's true.
A poster shows a whale's tail and the word courage.
Okay.
Hello, and how are we today, Mr. Mayor? Say ah.
Ah.
Oh. Horton's foot goes through the bridge as the mayor gets a jet of water in the eye.
Rinse, please.
The mayor spits a fine stream.
I think a few of these boards could stand to be replaced.
He's face down in the middle of the bridge. All the boards behind him crumble away.
I just need to think light. I'm light as a feather. I'm light as a feather.
A feather from a passing bird lands on the bridge.
Heavy feather.
Okay, this will just pinch a little.
I'm lighter than a feather. What's lighter than a feather? Air! There's nothing lighter. So, it stands to reason that the more air I have, the lighter I'll be!
With his trunk blown up like a balloon, Horton trots across the bridge, boards crumbling beneath him. The dentist's huge needle closes in on the terrified mare. The mare's tongue cringes back from the needle. Horton goes red in the face, then all the air shoots from his trunk, blowing him back down the ropes. The needle jabs the mare in the arm. His arm's all floppy. He tries to escape, bouncing off the door. His floppy arm can't even grip the handle. Then he runs out.
Next, please.
All right, that was absolutely terrifying. If I just pull myself...
Try not to panic.
He makes a last grab for the end of the bridge. Actually, he's safe. He hauls himself to safety.
That could have been a disaster.
He walks off, his rear end bouncing happily.
Wow, I feel really good right now. Maybe it's my new sense of purpose.
He does a ballet dance, jumping, twisting, and twirling a long ribbon. He shakes his booty, does a huge spin, and collides with a tree. Wow. The mayor runs to his house and slams his bad arm in the door. He heaves it free, then notices Jojo standing with an armful of bric-a-brac.
Hey, Jojo, I need your help. Can you help me? Okay, great. Okay, first, I need you to go to the girls' room. Take down Hannah Shinedoll collection and then stop looking at my arm. put away Holly's light bulb collection, and then, you know what? Just take care of anything that might break or shatter. Okay, take a good long look. Got it? Thanks, Jojo!
He runs upstairs and shakes his arm. He hits it against a wall, and it gets better. Jojo stares.
Here, and tear that in.
A chandelier over the bed has a spike on it. He kicks the bed to one side.
Hi, you're home late.
Oh, sorry, hon. I was just having some dental work done on my arm.
So, what was that? Ned! What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Well, I know Detective Ned, but you are hanging from the chandelier.
I just thought it might look better somewhere it can't fall on us and crush us in our sleep.
What is going on?
Hey, hun? Did you ever get the feeling that you were being watched?
Yeah. Sure. I suppose.
And then you get the feeling that maybe that thing watching you is a giant elephant. And you know how you get that weird feeling that your world is actually a tiny speck? And that the elephant that I talked about earlier is carrying it around on a flower. And you realize that if you tell anybody, they'd think you were crazy. But you still feel a responsibility to keep everyone safe. You know that feeling?
You know, I'm gonna have to say no. Do you know that feeling?
Ah! Oh, no! Yawn! Wow, I am beat. Time to hit the hay, I guess.
Sweetheart, I know you're under a lot of stress. And if you're seeing elephants and flowers, then fine. Just don't tell anyone else that story, okay? And remember, it's not the end of the world.
The end of the world?
Horton's in the jungle.
Horton the mayor. Horton the mayor. Come in, mayor. Over.
Horton?
He's made a listening device.
Oh. I get terrible reception here.
How about this? If I get up real close, can you read me?
The mayor flies off the roof.
Yep. Roger that. Are we at that safe place yet?
Almost. I'm pretty sure the worst part's over. This is your elephant speaking. Just sit back, enjoy the ride, and we'll have you to Mount Newland no
time. No, you can't have ice cream for breakfast.
Who's that?
Is there someone else there?
Well, that's my wife and kids.
You have a family.
I do indeed. A beautiful wife, 96 daughters, and one son.
Oh, busy guy.
Then we all share one bathroom. You know how that is.
Yeah, don't I know it. Bathroom?
Ned?
What?
Sweetheart, you know you're on the roof, right?
Please.
What's that? No, you need to go to bed. Daddy's having a breakdown. Ned, what are you up to now?
I was just about to put the kids to bed when I got off the roof. And that's what happened. Right.
He skips off the roof and slides in a window to his daughter's huge bedroom. He looks lovingly at his daughters, in bed stacked high to the ceiling, and switches off the light.
Daddy?
Yes?
Can I have a glass of water?
Of course.
3, 2, 3, 4, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9
Hey, Jojo! A lot of liquid.
Just the person I wanted to see. Yeah, I realize that we have not been seeing eye to eye lately, and most of it is my fault.
That's true.
You know what I've been trying to do? I have been trying to impose my vision of your future on you. Let me make this perfectly clear. Jojo, you can be whatever kind of mare you want to be. Hands-on, strong and silent, outspoken, it's up to you.
Well, good. I feel so much better.
I am expecting big things from you, young man.
Big things! All right, good night. Good stuff. Good talk.
With his foot, he passes Jojo a glass of water, ruffles his hair, and chucks him on the chin. He sways off with 96 glasses of water. Jojo climbs out of the window, slides down a plant, and trudges off towards a shiny building on a rock in the distance.
Then Jojo snuck out feeling lonely and sad and tragically misunderstood by his dad.
He climbs into the basket of a huge, finely balanced carousel. Opening an umbrella catches the breeze and spins the carousel. Adding a pebble to the rock balancing the device makes him swing upwards. He gets into a huge catapult.
And where was he going at such a late hour?
He's fired straight up in the air.
Up to Whoville's abandoned star-studying tower. A place where the boy felt contented and free. A place he could be what he wanted to be. And what was inside there, I'd say if I could. But up above, the kangaroo was up to no good.
At night, Kangaroo walks through a dark, misty, dead place.
Can I come out now, Mom?
No, Rudy. Stay in your room.
But, Mom...
Stay inside.
She shoves him back in her pouch, then hops over to a dark, spiky hole in the ground. She climbs down into the blackness.
Mr. Vladikov!
A bone falls from above. She looks around nervously.
Eating. Go.
Yes, I realize you're busy, but I need your help. It's Horton. He's become obsessed with a clover, and he actually thinks there are little people on it.
Vlad's a big black eagle.
I want that clover destroyed.
Sure, what a big deal this is. For you, bro.
I'd do it myself, but being a lady, I prefer not to get my hands dirty. But I hear you have no problem with that.
No. No problem. Easy peasy. But I will only do this for a price. In exchange for a brand new pair of... No. This. Little kangaroo.
Mom!
Quiet, Rudy. Mommy's thinking it over.
Huh. Well, thanks, but on second thought, I think I'm going to have the Wickersham brothers take care of this for me.
Yeah, of course, Wickersham. I mean, they're a classy operation. You know, they don't... Wait, no! You can't go with Wickersham!
No. The Wickershams would be perfect for this job.
But they're monkeys! It's not scary!
Thanks anyway. Maybe next time.
Wait!
Here's what I will do to precious clover. I will take it. I will crush it. And I will devour it.
He spreads his oily black wings theatrically.
Bigger than it look. 1 second. Holy moly. Hang on. Then I regurgitate it. Then I'm gonna devour it second time. So 2 times devoured.
Sounds nice. But I think I'll talk to the Wickershams.
Wait!
Here is best part. I do all gratis. That's free, bro. What do you think?
Deal.
Yes! Score! Thanking you. You won't regret.
He flies up and out of his tree stump cave. Then nearly crashes. Horton's asleep in the jungle. Lumpy white covers the whole town.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's a dramatic change in the weather. As if we were a speck floating through space. I don't know how you knew, but somehow you did. And Whoville is headed for disaster.
Oh, Horton.
What?
Nothing. I'm on it.
It's up to us to save the people of Whoville.
The mayor straps on skis with bells on, then is trampled by his family.
Stop it, there are a lot of you. Oh, that's it. Okay, anybody else? Good. No enjoyment. This is not fun. It is a sign of doom.
His littlest makes a snow angel.
Oh, sweetie, that's... No. Danger. Whoa! Stop having fun immediately. This is dangerous. Oh, okay.
They use him as a sled.
Snow back.
They whiz along a crazy ice track. Horton's still asleep.
We're in big trouble down here. It's happening. It's snowing. In the middle of summer. It's the end of the world!
Hold on, Mayor. I think I know what your problem is.
Horton breathes the nighttime frost off the clover. All the snow melts immediately. Skis stop. A snow angel becomes a mud angel. And a snowman melts.
There. That better?
The mayor's amazed.
That seems to have worked. Do I smell peanuts?
Yeah, they're my favorite snack. But they tend to linger.
Horton sucks his teeth. The mayor's goldfish looks dead.
Oh! Finwick, no.
Uh-oh. Hang on, Mr. Mayor. I may have to put up a fight. Frightened elephant can be very dangerous! All right! You've called down the thunder, buddy! You hungry for trouble? I'm an all-you-can-eat salad bar! Take a bite!
Morton nips out of the undergrowth.
I hate running.
Morton!
Don't do that!
Horton! Horton! Don't! There you are! We got trouble! Wait. Did you hear that? No, I'm here. Okay, listen. No, go! Kangaroo has gone nuts! Bananas! She's telling everyone that you should be kicked out of Newell!
She said that?
I thought we were friends.
Word is, she's gone to Vlad!
Vlad. I know two Vlads. Is it the bad Vlad or the bunny Vlad that makes the cookies?
Yeah, Horton. She's sending you a bunny with cookies. I think we can assume it's the bad Vlad.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So, unless you're cool with giant razor-sharp claws ripping the flesh off your body, I get rid of the clover.
I can't. I promised the mayor. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. And an elephant's faithful 100%.
Please. For me, just this once, be faithful 99% of the time. I've never got 99% on anything, and I think I'm awesome. So come on.
I meant what I said, and I said what I meant.
I'm not going to say it. You can do that all day. It's not happening. An elephant's faithful 100%.
That's right. That's my code, my motto. But thanks for the warning.
Motto, okay. But watch the skies. Keep... watching the skies!
He pulls up Horton's eyelids till his eyes bulge, then flits off.
Mayor, you need to get everyone underground, now!
I don't want to sound the alarm, but there's a good possibility we may be attacked by
a giant carnivorous bird.
What?
There's a small chance it could be a bunny with cookies, but I wouldn't count on it.
Oh, they are formidable. Whoa.
Mayor, are you there?
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. It's just... In order to get everyone mobilized, I'd need the okay of the city council, and they never listened to me. I've been called a boob.
Several times.
I can't do it.
You have to talk to the mayor. Okay, listen.
Vlad swoops.
Bad Vlad! Bad Vlad! Bad Vlad!
The mayor's bounced all over his office. Horton sprawls in the dust, then hides behind a tree.
That is definitely not a bunny.
He peers out. There's no sign of Vlad.
Lost him. I meant to lose him, and I lost him.
Vlad's talons get stuck in a tree.
This tree for real? Come on!
Hang on, Whoville! This is gonna get rough!
As Horton hits the dust, the mayor's thrown against Whisker's portrait, then nearly out of the door. As he holds on, objects fly past him. The goldfish bowl hits him between the legs.
Now you're going to get it! Get ready for the best!
Leave me alone!
Horton crashes through bamboo, which traps the big bird.
Horton!
He tumbles out of the bamboo thicket, watching for Vlad.
I just know he's going to jump out somewhere.
Hello.
Horton backs away along a tree growing out over a cliff, then slips, holding on by his trunk. Whoville tilts. The mayor is thrown onto his balcony and hit by all his furniture. He gets stapled again as Vlad tries to make Horton fall.
Chessmate. Now it's time for me to take Clover and crush all the little people on it.
Sorry. This is where we get off.
It's a very small cliff. The tree catapults Vlad into a rock.
Ah, right in the beak!
Ah, cool line. Usually I can't think of those things till later.
Mayor?
Horton!
Are you okay?
From his balcony, he sees a walking car being pulled to safety.
Well, more or less. What happened? The bird?
Yeah, it attacked me. Mayor, your people are in danger.
Huh. You know what? I'm gonna do it. I am going to go out there and tell them what is going on.
Perfect.
Now quick, get going.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, something's wrong.
My basement is in the attic.
The science museum is history.
The lost and found is missing.
I'm declaring a state of emergency!
Don't worry! Don't worry! The mayor is just being a moron.
No, wait! Whoville is in terrible danger! Everyone needs to get down to the underground storage area immediately!
Fine!
Fine. Let's do this democratically. Who wants the joy and glory and festivity of the Whocentennial to proceed as planned? Yeah! And who, like the mayor, thinks it would be better to spend the Whocentennial in an underground storage area?
Yeah!
He's a punk with blue hair.
Wait! You've got to listen to me! Our whole world could explode!
He bursts a beach ball.
Much more quickly! And our world wouldn't make that noise!
The people have spoken, Mr. Mayor. You're finished. No one believes you. No one supports you.
Horton believes me.
Horton? Who's Horton?
Horton is a giant elephant in the sky. Don't bother looking, he's invisible. And he's the one risking his life to get Whoville, which, by the way, is a speck on a clover, to safety!
Jojo stares sadly at his dad. His mother despairs at her husband.
I can prove it! Horton's voice comes out of this horn!
The councilman and the crowd all stare.
Horton! I have all the Whos gathered in Town Square. Let them know you're there!
Gee, this is kind of a high-pressure situation then.
The mayor grins nervously.
Wow, I am really drawing a blank here. I know!
Vlad grabs the clover.
Horton! Horton, we're waiting. Time to show everyone that you exist and... by extension, what a non-boob I am. Ha Wait! Everyone, look at the wind! What do you think that means?
It means, obviously, let the kite-flying race begin!
The mayor looks crushed as Jojo and his wife watch him with pity. The crowd breaks up, and kites appear in the sky. Horton charges after Vlad, but runs headfirst into a cliff face.
What a burn on you, Horton!
With a look of grim determination, Horton starts to climb the smooth vertical rock face after the gloating bird. He nearly falls, but keeps going, finally reaching the top and hauling himself up by a small tree shoot. The shoot pops out of the ground, but Horton replants it and charges on towards a snow-capped mountain. He finds a black feather caught on a branch, then arrives at the snow line. As he charges on, another feather floats out of the sky. Vlad's up near the mountain's pointy peak. Horton bounds across a ravine, landing in deep drifts which completely cover him, apart from his trunk, from which he blows a stream of snow.
Ooh! Brain freeze!
Vlad goes one way around the peak, Horton goes the other.
Give me back my spear!
Not this time, guy.
He leaps and falls, landing in a snowdrift, but charges out and follows Vlad down a canyon.
I am so sorry that I let you down, but this is bigger than me. Get the family together and get somewhere safe.
I will. I believe you.
Horton's eyes become bloodshot with anger.
I've got you now, elephant.
No, no, no!
Horton can only watch as Vlad drops the clover, and it falls into a field of clover, an ocean of pink flowers stretching to the horizon.
Oh no!
There's an earthquake in Whoville as the clover lands in a puff of pink. Horton stands high above the field on a mountain ledge as the sun goes down. Horton's in the middle of the huge field of identical fluffy pink flowers.
Mayor? Anybody there?
Hello?
Anyone?
But clover by clover by clover, he found that the one that he sought for was just not around.
Mayor? Hello?
And by noon, poor Horton, more dead than alive, had picked, searched, and piled up 9,005.
Hello? Sorry to bother you. Nobody?
Knock, knock. This is where you'd say, who's there? If there were any who's there.
Get it? Who's there? What's the matter with you?
All day he looked. Looked on and on. Until his hope was almost gone.
No, no, no! Please, no! Oh, this isn't fair!
The wind starts to blow away the piles of flowers he's made.
But wait! Could this one be the one? Was all his searching finally done? Ah, yes. For this was the hour. Horton had found them on the 3,000,000th flower.
Mayor! Mayor! I found you! Mayor? Are you there? Mayor?
He collapses.
Mayor!
Battered and broken, Whoville seems deserted.
Mayor, are you there? Mayor! Mayor! Mayor?
Lying on his side, he covers his eyes with his ear.
No, this is Floyd. Can I take a message?
Horton rolls over and jumps for joy.
Mayor! You're okay!
Whoville gets tossed about.
Horton! Horton! Stop! Stop it!
Sorry.
It must have been rough down there. I can't believe I found you. You really have me worried.
Say, the mayor was right.
Damn
Okay, I'm all right. And so are you.
He and his wife smile at each other.
Citizens of Whoville, I'd like you to meet our friend, Horton. He's going to help us.
I've got this. This is the chairman.
Idiot!
You're finished in this town. Is that understood? Finished! You boob.
I'm just joking.
Oh. Good one.
Horton?
This is my wife, Sally.
You exist! Oh, this means my husband isn't crazy. Hooray!
And a few of my daughters, Haley, Holly, Hooli, Hilda, and Hedy. And here is Miss Yelp, my loyal assistant. And here's Dr. LaRue.
You shaved us!
And Bert from accounting.
Mm-hmm. And Mrs. McGillicuddy. And Mr. Farfugan from
the Klugen Farfugan. And the old man in the bathtub.
Let's not overwhelm the poor fella. He's never gonna remember all these names.
Well,
I'll try my best.
Sally, chairman. Hallie, Hooli, Holly, Hilda, Hedy, Miss Yelp, Dr. LaRue, Bert from accounting, Mrs. McGillicuddy, Mr. Farfugan of the Klugen Farfugans, and wasn't there an old guy in a shower?
Bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
We're all here, Horton.
And we all believe in you.
Wow, that's awesome. And it's a responsibility I do not take lightly. I promise you a future that is safe, sound, and stable. We will create a world where every Who is endowed with 3 inalienable rights to be determined at a later date.
And we will put us back on Mount Noor before the end of this decade.
He's being watched by a busybody bird from the jungle.
Oh! This elephant is crazy! Oh my goodness! I gotta tell everybody. I need to get to the kangaroo. Woo-hoo! Wait till they find out about this.
Oh, you should have been seeing me. I really let Elephant have it. I chase him, I torment him, I break him into a million little elephant pieces. It was thing of beauty, really. My best work. Classic Vlad.
And the clover?
Clover is finished! No way in million years Horton find it. Read my beak. Clover is gone forever.
The bird tumbles out of the air, landing on her face.
I just saw Horton and he is still talking to that clover!
Idiot.
Whoa, come on, I'm your bro. It's me you're talking to. We have history. Come on, let's not forget I did this for free.
What is happening to the jungle of Newell? There once was a time when people were people and specks were specks. Mm-hmm. Well, I say if you can't see it, hear it, or feel it, it doesn't exist. Our way of life is under attack. And who's leading that attack? Horton!
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Wait a minute. This is Horton we're talking about. You all know him. He wouldn't hurt a fly. Except for that fly city he sat on. But he didn't do that on purpose.
Shut up, Mouse.
Yeah, that's weird. My brownies are burning. I gotta go.
Are we going to let troublemakers like Horton poison the minds of our children?
Not the children!
When Horton tells our children about worlds beyond the jungle, he makes them question authority, which leads to defiance, which leads to anarchy!
Yeah! Horton must pay!
Is that Speck?
No, we have to do something!
For the children!
For the children!
Are we going to let him get away with this?
No! Let's go!
The animals stampede. Horton trudges up a wide empty slope on the way to Mount Newell. He hears something, looks around, then puts an ear to the ground. Looks puzzled, then spots a small bouncing figure approaching.
Morton! I told you, 100%!
Horton!
Morton, pick up your feet!
Jeez!
It's not me!
Oh, I see. It's an angry mob. Sorry, Morton. I thought it was you that was making all the... But it's... Oh, darn.
Run, Horton! There he is!
Let's rope him! Let's cage him!
He tries to flee the huge mob, but is quickly surrounded.
Stop!
Hey, fellas. Good to see you all at once. You look really great as a horde.
Horton, 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 look at the mess you've created for yourself. All this hullabaloo over a silly little flower.
It's a speck.
Right. I mean, it's silly, really, all this talk of roping you and caging you, and, well, we don't need to go into the details. The point is, this angry mob, all the trouble you're in, it can all go away.
Really?
Of course. All you have to do is admit to everyone that there are no little people living on that speck, that you were wrong. And I was right. You do that, and things can go right back to the way they were. But if you don't, you're going to have to pay the price.
The monkeys approach with an elephant-sized cage.
So I just have to say it isn't true. Go ahead. Rope me, cage me, do whatever you want. But there are people on this speck, and they have a mayor who has 96 daughters and one son named Jojo, who all share a bathroom, whatever that is. And even though you can't hear or see them at all, a person's a person, no matter how small.
A monkey plucks something off another's fur, goes to eat it, then thinks better of it.
That was beautiful, Horton. Rope him! Cage him! Burn that speck in a pot of boiling bezel nut oil!
The monkey munches its morsel. The Hoos are horrified.
They don't believe we're here. We've got to make some noise! We are here! We are here! We are here!
We are here! We are here! We are here!
We are here!
Come on! Everybody!
We are here! We are here! We are here!
Grinning apes bring up a big pot of boiling, bubbling oil. A drop splashes on a flower, frazzling it.
This will teach you not to make up stories about people on specks!
Listen, there they are!
The animals cock an ear, but hear nothing.
Rope him! Cage him!
It's not working. I can hear you, but their ears aren't strong enough.
We need to be louder! Get every Who to make noise! Everyone! Jojo, where are you going? We need every voice! Jojo!
Jojo runs off. The monkeys rope Horton.
You need to make some noise down there, or we'll all be destroyed!
The mayor grabbed a tom-tom and started to smack it. And all over Whoville, they whooped up a racket. They rattled tin kettles, they beat on brass pans, on garbage pail tops and old cranberry cans. They blew on bazookas and blasted great toots, on clarinets, oompas and boompas and flutes.
There! Can they hear us now?
Listen, please! It's the most beautiful thing ever!
I don't hear nothing.
I don't think so,
but keep trying! Oh, I'll never give in!
Horton hauls against the ropes, dragging him to the cage.
Are you sure that every Who down in Whoville is trying?
The Whos have accordions, drums, and huge twisty tubas. Even the mayor's wife has a loud hailer.
We are here! We are here!
Where's Jojo?
Probably at the old observatory.
The mayor rushes off towards the observatory perched on its precarious pointy peak. Horton gets hauled into the cage, squashing a monkey against the bars. They drop the door on his head.
Oh, hey! There's a limit!
The catapult fires the mayor up the rock as the monkeys poke Horton and pull his trunk.
It's not supposed to stretch that far!
Finally, finding the small door to the observatory, the mayor gawps at a huge system of pumps, drums, horns, bells, whistles, and pulleys.
Jojo! You built this?
Pleasantly surprised to see his dad, Jojo swings off a platform and spins a big carousel covered in bottles and pipes which drives a pump. He grabs a passing kite, floats above violin bows playing saw blades, then bounds through a cluster of clanging bells. He pushes two huge balls of elastic bands down onto massive drums, dives off a high platform, swings on a rope and releases a mountain of marbles which tinkle down a twisty metal ladder. Jojo slides down the ladder with a broad grin. He dives into a transport bucket, grabbing his goggling dad by the hand. They land on a high platform, a giant cog opens the observatory door, and the mighty noise machine blares out a great bubble of sound. As towers of symbols continue to crash in Jojo's machine, the noise bubble rumbles up into the clouds above Whoville. Horton's dragged to the ground in the cage. Kangaroo grabs the clover.
You're making a mistake!
But this doesn't concern you, sweetie.
Back in your pouch!
Jojo and the mayor unicycle down a narrow roller coaster road back to town.
Everybody, don't stop! Keep going! This is gonna do it!
As the Whos try their hardest, the noise bubble strains against the clouds.
Can they hear?
No!
The Whos' hopes turn to despair. Sadly, the mayor turns to Jojo.
No matter what happens, I couldn't ask for a better son.
Hey, Jojo? Come on! Keep going!
Jojo grabs Horton's speaking horn. Fire blazes under the oil. Kangaroo holds the clover over the bubbling oil. Jojo and his dad run up steep, twisty stairs to the very top of the house. Then, Kangaroo lets go.
No!
The clover falls. Jojo, at the very top of the flagpole on top of his house, raises the horn. His new noise bubble flies up and forces all the noise out through the clouds. Rudy grabs the clover.
Oh, I hear it! I hear it! They are there!
And that yop, that one small extra yop, put it over. And all the Who noises burst out of the clover.
I hear it!
Me too. So do I!
Rudy, give me that. Come, Rudy.
He bounds out of his mother's pouch.
Rudy, get back in the pouch. Now!
No, Mom.
Wickershams, get that clover.
The apes let Rudy pass.
Anybody! Take it from him!
Kangaroo looks crushed as Rudy smiles and hands the clover to Horton.
You did it, Mayor. You did it.
We did it!
He holds up Jojo's arm in triumph. The punk high-fives an old Who.
Well done, son.
All right, Mayor!
Dad, you're one of the greats.
Father and son hug. The animals cheer Horton.
Whoa! Easy, everyone, easy! Oh, hi, Vlad.
It's Vlad Rabbit with a plate of cookies.
Well, I shouldn't, but...
He's about to take a bite when he notices Kangaroo standing miserably outside the group. He walks over to her and offers her his cookie. She gives a humble smile and accepts it. Then she pops up a little flower petal umbrella to protect the speck. She and Horton smile, watched by Vlad the Eagle.
Oh man, that is nice touch. I am a mess with this, right? Emotional. Here come the water slide.
I have so many people to thank. The good people of Newell, who put me in a cage and poked me with sticks.
That was me!
My buddy Morton, for being the only one who stood by me. Well, not right by me. He hid in the bushes, sending me good thoughts. He's small.
Dude, you are a warrior poet.
And most of all, I'd like to thank the mayor of Whoville.
Who believed in me from the beginning.
Oh, Horton. We're going to miss you.
What are we gonna do without you, Horton?
Don't worry.
I'll always be around.
And even as I wander,
I'm keeping you in sight.
You're a candle in the window
on a cool, dark winter's night.
Beautiful metaphor.
And I'm getting closer than I ever thought I might.
Woo! That's a little high for me.
Baby, I can't fight this feeling anymore. I've forgotten what I started fighting for.
Strange little fluffy Katie takes a deep breath and floats away.
Come crashing through your door.
Crashing through your door. Baby, I can't fight this feeling anymore.
I can't fight this feeling anymore.
As Jojo sings, Horton, Kangaroo, and the animals parade the clover to Mount Newell.
And so, all ended well for both Horton and Hooves, and for all in the jungle, even kangaroos. So let that be a lesson to one and to all. A person's a person, no matter how small.
Thousands of specks float through space. One of them is fluffy little Katie.
I can't fight this feeling anymore. Yeah, I like this. Faster, more up tempo.
I've forgotten what I started fighting for.
I can't fight this feeling.
It's time to bring my ship into your shore.
That's a metaphor.
And throw away the oar.
Another metaphor.
And buy an engine.
I can't fight
this feeling anymore.
I'm going with a drink to my door.
I've forgotten what I started fighting for.
Yourself.
If I have to crawl across the floor and break down your stupid door, baby, I can't fight this feeling anymore on an empty stomach.
I can't fight this feeling. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I can't fight this feeling. Ooh,
ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. I'm just saying words.
Oh, that felt so good. Cathartic! What?
The mayor looks puzzled as Horton gives a pitying look. The voice cast was Jim Carrey as Horton, Steve Carell as Mayor, Carol Burnett as Kangaroo, Will Arnett as Vlad, Seth Rogen as Morton. Dan Fogler as Councilman and Yomo Wickersham, Isla Fisher as Dr. Mary Lou LaRue, Jonah Hill as Tommy, Amy Poehler as Sally O'Malley, Jamie Presley as Mrs. Quilligan, Charles Osgood as the narrator. Josh Flitter as Rudy, PC Nash as Miss Yelp, Jesse McCartney as Jojo, Shelby Adamowski as Hedy and Hooley, Jack Angel as Old Time Who, Caitlin Rose Anderson as Helen, Emily Anderson as Heather, Jan Rabson as Tam Crier, John Sigan as Who, Jess Harnell as Another Who, Debbie Derryberry as Who Mum, Samantha Ray Droke as Hildy and Holly, Karen Disher as Who Kid, Marshall Efron as Wickersham Guard 1, Bill Farmer as Willie Bear, Jason Friccione as Joe, Heather Goldenhirsch as Who Girl, Selena Gomez as Helga, Jimmy Hayward as Obnoxious Who. Joey King as Katie, Christina Martino as Heidi and Haley, Emmy Martino as Hannah, Lorraine Newman as Glubbock's Mum, Tim Nordquist as Wickersham Guard 2, Billie O'Shaughnessy as Angela, Laura Ortiz as Jessica, Joe Pasquale as The Dentist, Connor Anderson as Who Child Number 1. The producers wish to thank the following for their assistance: Herb Shayette and Linda Hill. Prints by Deluxe. Copyright 2008 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. Copyright 2008 TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company and 20th Century Fox Film Corporation in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. 20th Century Fox Film Corporation is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events or firms, is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution, as well as civil liability. Further titles continue to scroll. Audio description by Deluxe, written and voiced by Roland Beer.